Times are changing, so is technology. As a matter of fact, technology has enabled every human who is now in different corners of the world to collaborate, communicate, and work remotely. Technology platforms today are led by determined women leaders who not only take care of an organization's strategies, but also contribute in building empowering communities. Today, we'll be speaking to one such talented woman. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Aishwarya, your host, and I hope you're all doing safe and healthy during a crucial outbreak like this. With me, I have Sarah Joyce Franklin, the EVP and GM, platform trailhead and developers at Salesforce. Great to be speaking to you, Sarah.
Great to be here, and I echo your sentiments. Our hearts go out to everybody during this, you know, pandemic and crisis.
Totally. Why don't we begin with your journey into tech? A chemical engineer turned programming professional who stepped into marketing and platform leadership. Wow, that sounds super interesting. Can you walk us through your experiences quickly?
Happy to walk you through my experiences, and I'll start, you know, way back in the day when, you know, I was actually a young girl in high school, and my mother is a, you know, retired teacher now of, you know, over 30 plus years, and as you imagine, teachers, you know, don't get paid a lot of money, unfortunately. So I had a humble background, and I sat down with a guidance counselor, and I just said, you know, what can I do that to make a lot of money? And he was like, you can be an engineer. And I was like, great, I'm going to do that. And I didn't know exactly what I was getting into, but I you know, did like math and science and solving problems. And so engineering was, you know, really, really cool and interesting. But you know, I was one of the only women, which is something I didn't understand back then, like how few women there were in technology and technical careers. But, you know, I rewind back and I don't know, you know, what, you know, made me not scared, you know, to be, you know, one of the minorities there. But it was super fascinating going through being an engineer. My first job was at Lockheed Martin, and I was... I worked on wafer fabrication for radiation hardened chips in the CMP, chemical mechanical planarization department, which you know, it sounds really fancy, but you know, I really had developed a passion for that problem solving and coding. I had taken one coding class in college for Fortran, and dating myself a little bit there, but I decided to move out to California and be part of, you know, emerging technology, and that brought me into doing things like, you know, integration work. I was an SAP AUBopper. I did Vitria and TIBCO work. I, you know, did EDI work, and it brought me into, you know, ultimately into the cloud, which is, you know, Salesforce, and, you know, incredible innovations that we had to democratize application development with a platform, and now, you know, leading the platform, which helps people, you know, build incredible applications without having to code. It's been an incredible, incredible journey, but still one where there aren't enough women, and so I'm very passionate about helping other women to pursue incredible careers in technology because, you know, as I mentioned, I like to solve problems, do puzzles, to draw even. And those are things that are engineering kind of tasks. And I didn't necessarily understand that. So I would love to see more women pursue incredible careers in tech.
Totally, Sarah. I think the whole aim of us to host this podcast with you is to connect a lot of aspiring women in our community with leaders like you, where they understand that what you've gone through is something similar to what they're going through right now in their career. And they can always follow their aspirations by trying and tested methods and taking inspiration from all the others around. And that's such a unique background and upbringing, I should say. You've got a lot of interests, and you rightly explored and identified what worked for you and what you should be pursuing and going into. And what really interested me was how you said you are a part of something, you know, building applications that help people. And I think somewhere communities today largely function on empowering each other. So kudos to what you're doing there at Salesforce.
Yeah, so it's very important that that we as a, you know, a human, you know, people, that we help each other and that we lean into empowerment. And whether it's through, you know, building the technology that can empower people, or helping people learn, like we've also created our, you know, free online platform Trailhead, which empowers people to learn these skills. And so it's really, really important. And for, you know, everybody in leadership, it's important for you to, you know, invest in people, and, you know, for women in leadership, especially, it's very important to mentor and help others. And it's a very important part, because nobody does anything alone, right? We all, you know, have somebody helping us, and it's important to recognize those people and to help others. I think it's very important to be helpful.
Rightly put. It's important, especially for women, to be supportive of one another. And in technology, I see a lot of people doing that, you know, be it on social media or be it in person. And I'm so happy to see that we are currently in a position where such a thing is happening. And since we're talking about supportive and behavior and trying to lean into each other, a stepstone to grow in one's career path is the willingness to seek for help and in turn help the others around. How can product people be more vocal and lean in for betterment?
Yeah, it's super important to be willing to help, but to also to seek help, because we all need it. And it's not a sign of insecurity, or it's not a sign of inability to ask for help. It's actually a very brave thing to do, to ask for help, to say, hey, I don't know exactly what this is. Can you help me? And in the world of product, it's ever so important, because if you're like a new product leader at a company, for example, and you've likely joined where there's a low representation of women, so there's networks that are already created within, you know, the companies, and it's important for you to feel comfortable, you know, talking to your colleagues and asking for help, even if, you know, that you're not, you know, represented in a proportionate way that you see when you walk outside the doors and you're, you know, in a regular population. I mean, technology as an industry is, you know, 18%, you know, representation of female, where our population is about half. So it's very important. And I tell women, and this isn't just in product, I tell women of all career pathways, it's important to know what you want. A lot of women tend to ask how they can help and ask what others need. And it's a muscle to learn to say, this is what I need, and this is what I need help with, and this is what I want. And to know your plan and to know what you want to do. And that's not saying it's selfish. It's just being confident and knowledgeable about what you want to do, what you're setting out to achieve. In the product world, if you have a, you know, bold idea for some new product feature or for your roadmap, it's important to feel confident in sharing your ideas. And I think that's something, especially in product, that women need to feel, you know, confident in getting behind their ideas and sharing their ideas and helping each other as well.
Certainly. I think I somewhere agree with you on the part that it's important to forget insecurity when it comes to asking out for help. And it's a brave thing to even be confident about what you want to ask and reach out to the right person. And tech companies today have a lot of cross-functional duties. So it's important to tap into office networks, catch up over coffee with somebody, and try to see who those potential peers would be, what kind of mentors your department has, and sort of initiate conversations with them and offer help and ask for help in return. So what you've stated right now is such a best practice that all of us can put forth into use.
Yeah. I mean, you are an example of that yourself. You sent me, you know, a message, I think on LinkedIn, and you said you had an idea that you're starting this podcast and that, you know, you're passionate about this cause. And I think it's great. And that is what we need, you know, women to feel empowered to do, to say, I have an idea. I'm going to ask. The worst thing is somebody's going to tell me no. And I'll ask again later, you know, and I can learn from it. So I think it's great. And yes, we all need to do that.
Spot on, because that's exactly been my mindset over the last couple of months. An important virtue that I've took for myself is to not be very apprehensive when it comes to reaching out to people and also offering help. So that's the whole reason that I reach out to people, even those who are, say, at higher career levels. It's okay, because as you said, at the end of the day, if they do not agree, there's always a time to reach out to them again. And as a matter of fact, do try. It's okay if it fails, but at least you have the satisfaction of trying.
Amen. Yes.
So you're a firm believer in the concept of continuous learning and improvement. In fact, you've quoted that, stay relevant, you have to always be learning. What are some ways you keep yourself abreast of the current technological advancements?
Yes, you have to always be learning. And whether it's technology, whether it's, style of communication, whether it's just anything, like, you always have to be learning. And this is something that I feel super fortunate to have been at Salesforce for the last 12 years and to have learned from Mark Benioff and Salesforce leadership how to approach things from what we call a beginner's mind, where it's really fascinating if you start asking questions of things that you assume are true. And so it's very important. So before getting into how you learn, I think it's important to always approach things from a beginner's mind, because if you make too many assumptions, or if you think, well, I know this, well, I saw this, 10 times before and I know exactly what's going to happen, I don't need to learn anything here, you're going to prevent yourself from actually learning. And so one of the biggest parts about staying current and learning is to challenge yourself, ask yourself, what don't I know, or what am I assuming? And to listen to feedback and to proactively ask for feedback, not just like after you've done something, what went well, but what went wrong? What could I have done better? What could I learn here? And so that mindset is very, very important. And it is hard, because you have this little thing called an ego, which wants to feel really good and feel all happy. And a lot of times learning that you can improve things can challenge your own ego and can challenge your own sense of, capability. But for me, so the first thing is to have a beginner's mind and to have that mindset. The second thing is to listen and to observe. Ironically, having a teenage daughter really helps me stay current on technical advancements, because she's often using things ahead of what I'm using in the workforce. And that's a big thing in product, is to look to the consumer world for inspiration for how we can bring that into the enterprise world. And, product is for consumer and enterprise. I am, in an enterprise space myself. Trailhead's more consumer. But it's important, I think, to look, around you. And then dedicating time for it. I dedicate time to learn, whether it's on Trailhead or with asking people to come talk to me about things, like experts, asking ourselves, what experts, in a certain field can I come learn from? So I think I cannot agree more, how important it is to always be learning. And then just also for relevance in a workforce, the skills are rapidly changing. Innovation, the pace of innovation is only increasing. And so just from a relevancy standpoint in the workforce itself, it's important that you are, in tune with the latest skills. So so have that open mindset to always be learning, schedule time for it, and actively seek it out would be my advice. And don't be scared of it. Don't be intimidated by technology. Don't be intimidated by new things. If you are scared, this is something I live by. If fear is challenged, if fear is affecting my decisions, I'm more likely to follow that just to attack my fear head on. But But I just don't be fearful. Just schedule time for it and just do it. Would be my advice to everyone.
Totally. Beyond the usefulness for technology, the habits or the practices that you've just stated now, can they adopt it to personal journey as well? Be it having a beginner's mind and not assuming too much and getting lost in the trail of overthinking and, you know, sort of closing your knowledge window, moving on to collecting feedback from everybody. And I think I've also picked up a habit of late to ask what could have been better in whatever I did so that I understand that there's always a scope for improvement and to listen and observe and see what others' perspectives are, dedicating time to learn. So those couple of practices were spot on and something that all of us can start. I mean, these are so simple that, you know, we can just start on to adopt in the next couple of weeks and actually see a major change happening to us on a personal front.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. So today we've got communities that empower women to step up and steer a change in their careers and professional circles. As a woman in senior management role, what do you think is a primary responsibility to inspire hundreds of women who dream to climb the ladder and lead organizations?
So there's a lot of communities out there, and as in, you know, a senior leadership role, it's very important to actively seek out, you know, young women in your teams, in the community, to be willing to do things like, you know, take your personal time. Like, this is a something I'm very excited to be doing here with the podcast, and hope that mm-hmm. other women, you know, will follow, and will also you know, seek out advice. And it's I think something I'm very passionate about is not just changing the ratios in tech, but changing the ratios in senior leadership. I was on, I can't remember how many months ago it was now, there was an article that talked about the top, you know, CEOs, you know, in the world, mm-hmm. and out of the top 50, there wasn't a female on that. And, you know, I went to social media and I tweeted it, as did many others. Even, you know, Mark Benioff, our leader, you know, our CEO at Salesforce said, you know, why aren't there women on this list? Because they exist. And so there is a, you know, systemic unconscious bias in so many of our systems that we just have to very actively, especially senior leadership, you know, confront it and bring other women in, make them feel comfortable, make them feel like they have a place, and really, you know, make time to help them, because, you know, it's hard and we have to be there for each other. And so my advice is to seek out, you know, there's lots of great places, whether it's women in tech communities. We have in our Trailblazer community a great women in tech group. We have Girly Geeks. That would be my number one feedback to people that are mm-hmm. looking to grow, is if you seek out advice, you know, from senior leadership, to have a specific ask for them. Say, like, this is what you can do to help me. Because I can speak for myself. I want to help a lot of people. I have ideas, but I don't know what people need. So whether people need a confidence boost, whether people need a connection and an introduction, whether they need advice or feedback on a presentation, having a very specific ask of what you're looking for is something that I think, especially women, as I mentioned earlier, don't tend to, they want to be accommodating more so than they want to ask for something for themselves. And so when you're speaking with a senior leader, understand their time is precious, and that they want to help, but they want you to tell them what is needed of them. And that's something that I wish I had known a long time ago myself. Mm-hmm. And that's advice I can give to young women that are aspiring to grow and lead in organizations.
Wonderful. The way I see it is, you know, two ways. One is for the people who are, say, early career people, or, you know, who are looking out for that guidance from a lot of experts. They should be more specific about what do they want to know and ask, and not really digress or leave sentences incomplete, but understand what they want to know from these experts and be more spot on with respect to their questions. And with respect to the senior leaders, they should be more accommodative of these young women and give them sense of belonging to the community and helping them, sort of unearth a lot of other communities around them to help them up with their career aspirations. And what you're doing is essential and incredible, Sarah, and you're setting an example for a lot of other women leaders out there.
Well, that's great. That's the goal. That's the goal.
Yeah. So with the severe health emergencies taking over, we have pandemic alerts all across the globe. Remote working is garnering more attention than ever. And as a platform head of a leading SaaS company, do you like to add some points on how product folks can seize the potential of today's technology for successful remote working?
Yeah, I mean, just like right now, we're doing this on a recording, we're remote from each other. So it's more important than ever that you embrace, the technology, whether you're going to use Zoom or Hangouts or anything. Turn on the webcam. Don't be afraid of, that you haven't, dressed up in, the fanciest of clothing. Don't be worried if your children run behind you, if you have children. And from a product perspective, I think this has actually been a fascinating time. I sat down with my product leadership and I said, what do we have any adjustments that we need to make to our own roadmap? I think it's a time where you can focus on some innovation and technology can be used for that innovation. And it's actually very simple things. Like I, did a survey to my team, which is if you've ever been in like one of those where you've been in a place where they have like just a smiley face keyboard, like mm-hmm. to ask you how the service was, and you can either hit the smiley or hit the frowny face, and that level of just asking people like how are you doing today, smiling or frowning or kind of midway in between, and getting a pulse, and that's something that technology can help you scale that understanding, that pulse, which you used to be able to understand from walking around the office a lot better. So there's it's important to use technology not just to interact, but also to stay in tune with the pulse. I've also, for example, been recording videos instead of just sending emails to my team. I'm recording little videos and uploading them to this, like 2 or 3 minute videos, and it's just a little bit more personal of a connection. And we are also having all hands, virtual ones and everything. We're also doing a virtual go to the movies this week. We're going to watch General Magic together. I'm very excited about that. And we're then going to have a panel Q&A with like the producers and directors. And so things that technology can be used for is you have to, it's an opportunity to innovate and to get creative, but it's important not to just like, do emails and messaging. Use other formats, use video, use streaming, be real, be accessible, be authentic. And it's an incredible opportunity right now because people really need that additional level that technology can provide to maintain that human connection, in my opinion.
That's a beautiful checklist that you've just stated. And you were very true with respect to the fact that people will have to embrace this whole concept initially to even start finding their ways through it. And I think with the right time that we're all set in remote working, people have started to understand that there's so much that they can explore and do. And even I find a lot of them uploading videos, finding their ways out of team meetings and chats and virtual conferences and whatnot with respect to connecting to people and trying to say that, hey, I'm here and let's get on a chat and let's stay connected at times like this. And I think empathy is given more importance than ever. And it's so beautiful to see that people are caring for each other and taking time to learn what best technology could provide for them and for the people around.
Yeah, no, and it's been wonderful talking through this, and it's been really great session today.
Yeah, so as we come to the end of this session, I would love to end on an interesting and fun note. So I've got a quick rapid fire for you with just 4 questions.
Oh, great. Let's go.
All right. So your favorite non-work activity?
Well, of course, my family, but running. I'm a runner.
Wow, that's nice. So the book that you last read?
This sounds a little self-serving, but Trailblazer was the last book that I did read. And I just got a Kindle, actually, because with this whole thing, I want to do more reading.
Totally.
So I'm looking forward to downloading those. Tuesdays with Morrie is my favorite book.
Oh, yes. I just completed the book like day before yesterday, and I'm in love with the concepts that were discussed. And hi-fi, a virtual hi-fi to you for the Kindle, because I just read the book on Kindle.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm learning it.
Yeah, all the best.
See, we have to always be learning technology. I think Kindle's been around for a while, but
totally. And a perfect example in this case. So a quote that you will stick with you for your lifetime.
Oh, anybody knows me this knows, be the change you wish to see in this world, Gandhi. Fully subscribe to that.
Oh, wow. And your personal favorite, second only to technology?
My personal favorite, I love health and nutrition. And I love Mars. I'm infatuated with Mars and Mars exploration and space and all of that. I hope to be alive when humans get to Mars. I don't know if that'll happen. cheering for Elon and team, you know, and NASA. But I'm infatuated with Mars.
Yeah, that's still very promising, I should say, because it's we're there. We're quite close. And I think it will happen sometime. So it's very promising.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Today has been amazing speaking to you and discussing every bit about your incredible journey in both tech space and building communities. And most of our listeners are aspiring leaders who would find your experiences and stories very helpful for them in their careers.
Wonderful. Have a great day.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, please do stay indoors. Keep yourself healthy and enjoy remote working, concentrating on mindfulness too. Listen to our podcast sessions on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Anchor, and share your reflections and comments with us on the social media. Bye-bye.